Today's episode of Rob as a Podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. You know, there's something about TrueCar that a lot of people might not know. Using TrueCar can also help you buy a used car. In fact, there's over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So if you're looking to buy a new or used car, you can get that upfront pricing that empowers discounts off the list price for used cars and a better buying experience through our TrueCar certified dealer network. With over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, you'll see what other people paid for the car, so you'll know what a fair price is and feel confident. You won't feel ripped off like when Sierra Dawn Thomas told Sarah that she had the legacy advantage. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy a quick car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the new or used car that you want. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here once again for our final Survivor chat of the week. And of course, you know we're going to bring in the man who put together the Survivor rulebook way back when, as the founder of Reality News Online, the great David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
Rob, I have to be honest. I don't know if I can do the podcast because I just drove 5 hours and I think I look like crap.
No, David, you look, I'm sure you look and sound wonderful. I'm sure you're ready to go.
Okay. Well, then let's do it.
Okay, good. All right. So, David, taking some advice from the lovely first lady of podcasting in terms of getting things rolling.
That's right. So speaking of whom, how was your Mother's Day with Nicole?
We actually had a very nice day. So we are recording this on Monday. Just a little inside baseball. Usually I record Josh Wigler and David Bloomberg back to back on a Sunday. So Josh Wigler was unable to be on the same page. Or I should say that Josh couldn't record on Sunday. I was traveling, so we weren't able to record a Wiggle Room this week. And then David also was indisposed, so it was a podcast free Sunday for Nicole. She was very, very happy.
Well, that's good. And I have to tell you, my wife was very happy with the canvaspeople.com picture that we got her.
Good. So yeah, not a paid endorsement from David Bloomberg.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, it was actually a good day. So we took the boys out for a little while. We went out to eat and all was good over here. Just a happy day, David.
Well, that's good.
Not a happy day, though, probably still at the Sierra Dawn Thomas house, still licking her wounds from Survivor Game Changers.
Well, you know, maybe now that she's home and on Mother's Day, she's part of the we.
No, I mean, it's really terrible. And, you know, everybody is bummed out. I heard that even the horses are not taking it well. That I heard it was one of them said to another, why the long face? That was a long way to go for that.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You could have drove another 5 hours for that, David. All right. So, David, let's talk about the downfall of Sierra Dawn Thomas. So I think that people came in maybe not expecting much. I think you got more than you were expecting from Sierra Dawn Thomas. So would love to get your take on why she lost this week.
Well, yeah, and I agree that we definitely did get more than was, you know, probably expected. I will say that a lot has been made already this week of Sierra telling Sarah about the legacy advantage. And so that raises the question, you know, was she voted off just because of that? Or was that even that big a factor? Or was there a lot more going on? I'd say we can answer all that as we figure out why Sierra lost.
Okay, David. So why don't we start off with rule number one, to scheme and plot. I thought I was watching her in the hammock. I said, there's scheming and there's plotting.
That's right. And, you know, her first time out, she was not exactly known as being a power player who strategized her way through the game. But to her credit, she learned. She knew that and said in a week one web confessional that she couldn't come in so timid this time. She started off by saying she wanted to be a ringleader and decision maker this time instead of being on the bottom of the alliance like she was last time. And I'd say she succeeded. You know, by her own words in interviews, she went in guns blazing, and we certainly saw it.
Yes, the sheriff.
That's right. So Sierra also said in interviews that she and Brad decided to run the game together from day one. And we can go back to a week two web confessional where she said she was aligned with Troyzan and JT as well. And this certainly goes along with my advice that players should be making alliances and cementing relationships from the very beginning, or at least in the case of her alliance with Troyzan, apparently from before the beginning. It certainly helped her that the team she had put together didn't really have to test their loyalty early on. But I feel like even if they had, Sierra was probably near the top and wouldn't have had to worry a whole lot. And, you know, her partnership with Brad took her far in the game. She said that Brad is great at listening. He would let her take the lead role. And then when she had questions, he would take the lead role. They were good at letting each other figure out what needed to happen. And, you know, there are, of course, downsides to having a partnership like that, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But for now, I'll give her credit for making a tight bond with several different players so she could keep herself safe. And as I mentioned, Sierra was definitely directing at least some of the moves. Per Debbie in her interview with you and then confirmed by Sierra, she gets a lot of the credit for targeting Malcolm in that two-tribe tribal council that I loved so much.
Can I jump in and just mention something there? So in my exit interview with Sierra, we were talking about that, and I brought up the fact about how Debbie had said that really give the credit to Sierra on that one. And, you know, Sierra said, yes, you know, that was me. She had to convince Brad, who really wanted to go for Sandra, and it was Sierra who pushed for Malcolm. But just to go a little bit, to drill down a little, I thought it was interesting when I talked to Sandra. Sandra said, no, I was good with Brad. Brad wasn't going to go for me. So Sandra either was wrong about that, you know, Brad actually did not consider them to have a pregame alliance as Sandra considered when she told me. Also, when you go back to that Sandra exit interview, you know, what she said kind of is in conflict with what we later came to be known as the Bloomberg brag about how Ty was actually in on that tribal council vote. And it was not as it was depicted on the episode. But also then I was a little bit bummed out that Sierra, the reason why she wanted to go after Malcolm was just because Malcolm was a threat to win challenges. I thought it was more about, you know, Malcolm, the strategic threat. She was seemed more concerned about Malcolm and his ability to win challenges.
Well, I mean, first of all, are you trying to piss off the queen? Because, you know, she hears about things like this.
Yeah, I'm not trying to piss anybody off. I'm stating some facts that Sandra said she had a pregame alliance with Brad Culpepper. Sierra Dawn Thomas told me that Brad Culpepper wanted to vote off Sandra at the combined tribal council.
Yeah, so I don't know which of them we should believe necessarily. Obviously, it's hard to say. I will say that when Sierra was answering some of your questions, it seemed like she wasn't fully answering the question that you had asked. I can't remember. There was one in particular where you asked her about something and she went off on a completely different tangent and you didn't have a chance to reel her back in.
Okay.
So
filibuster.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, that could be. As much as I like to say the interviews are canon when they're conflicting, obviously someone's canon is unloaded, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, getting back to that particular situation, whether Sierra was targeting Malcolm because of his challenge ability or overall gameplay, I do think she made a good move in persuading her group to target him, even though I, of course, hated the result.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, overall, to wrap up this rule, I'm going to say she definitely did a much better job of scheming and plotting on her second time through than on her first.
Now, did she scheme and plot too much, David? Rule number two, we heard her name quite a bit in this post-merge. It seems like almost every single vote that the person who didn't go home was Sierra. Ultimately, that narrative changes this week. Was she scheming and plotting too much?
Well, you know, I just gave her credit. And as there is so often in life, the other shoe has to drop, and it does so in this rule, yes. Because while she did change the course of her gameplay to be more active, I think she overcorrected and went a bit too far. In particular, Sierra violated a couple parts of this rule. I think it's pretty clear that she schemed and plotted too much in too obvious a manner. You mentioned a couple minutes ago, and you have been for weeks now, about Sierra lying in that hammock and giving orders. And Sierra herself even said in her CBS interview that something she would change if she had the chance was that she wouldn't have been such a sassy monster. That's a quote.
Sassy monster.
Sassy monster. It's the new Sesame Street character. And, well, I laughed at that, even if you didn't.
I'm so. Smiling.
Okay. And she wouldn't have told people what to do so much. And then she added that playing Survivor, you can't really have that role because you put a target on your back. And of course, she's correct. She also had a web confessional in this particular episode in which she said she started out loud, giving orders, being strategic, but now she was pulling back so as not to be seen as too much of a threat. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, too little, too late there, which I think she realized in Ponderosa, because by that point she expanded on the theme, saying that she had told people what to do, worked strategy, and was told that she was a target because of it. And then she noted in interviews that she made a mistake and just went a little too hard. But she also noted in interviews that she knew it was a problem that she had such a close relationship with Brad. And she's right. This rule specifically warns against joining up openly with another person for any reason, because open partnerships are just begging to be split up. We heard it several times during this episode that either Brad or Sierra had to go in order to break them up. And of course, when Brad won immunity, well, that made it pretty clear which one of them would have to go. That wasn't the only issue with Sierra not keeping her scheming secret, though. The next issue is one that many people, including Sierra herself, are pointing to as the main reason she was voted off. And that, of course, is telling Sarah about the legacy advantage. But I'm not convinced. I mean, it makes for a good story. It takes a complex situation and it simplifies it. But we know that's not usually the way Survivor is. It is a lot more complex than we see on TV. There was already plenty of discussion about voting out Sierra. And sure, Sarah was in the middle and had a decision to make, as did Michaela and Ty. But this was not the only factor in that decision. I just don't think Sarah was going to be playing the game as hard as she has been and then decide to ignore all the other social and strategic elements because she could probably get an immunity idol that only works in one specific vote. I'll talk about what at least one of the other players was thinking when we get to infamous Rule 7. But for now, I would just say that...
a Rule 7 tease.
That's right. That's right. So for now, I would just say that while telling Sarah about the legacy advantage was a violation of this rule, of course, and, you know, she certainly shouldn't have done it, I don't think it was at all solely responsible for her Survivor loss.
So let me read between the lines of what you're saying. You're saying that the episode really painted a picture of Sarah Lucina says that after first saying, okay, well, let me work with Sierra because she has this advantage. She had wanted to work with Sierra. She wanted to target Brad. Brad wins immunity. And then now that Brad is off the table, Sarah Lucina, at least in confessional, tries to paint the picture of, actually, I want the legacy advantage. That's why Sierra is going to go home, where you're saying that Brad winning immunity was the deciding factor in Sierra going home, and Sarah just went along with that plan.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the way we saw it was first there was the Brad or Sierra with Andrea as a possibility. Then when Brad was gone, it became Sierra or Andrea. And you had that threesome of Sarah, Michaela, and Ty in the middle there trying to figure out, okay, who do we want to vote out? And it seemed like on TV what tipped the balance was the legacy advantage that Sarah said, oh, I want that, so I'm voting out Sierra. I just don't think it's that simple. I think there's a lot going on there, and that was not the only reason to keep Andrea in the game and get rid of Sierra.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty astute point. I would say that I probably would split the difference on it, where I think that Brad winning immunity was probably the biggest factor in Sierra being the person to go home, because we know that Sarah at least has had conversations with Troy's Anne. Ty is voting with them. So there's really only three people left on that side to pick from. Brad has immunity. So it's really going to be Sierra or Troy's Anne. And Ceree has said for a long time she wanted to get Sierra out of the game. So things were pointing towards Sierra. So I guess she has two options there: to stick with her group and vote out Sierra, or go along potentially with Michaela and Ty and then flip things around. That's not what she wanted to do. But I will give her credit for making the best of the situation. We saw her go back and talk to Sierra and really try to, you know, grease the wheels to make sure that she was going to be the person that Sierra was the best feeling about it when she said this.
I love you. You're my, like, it girl out here. Like, I'm with on you. On a real level.
And then we also heard Sierra tell us in the exit interview that Sarah did such a good job of selling going out. So I will give Sarah a lot of credit for being able to pull off stealing the or looting from the person going out of the game.
Oh, I agree. And I also agree that, yeah, if Brad doesn't win immunity there, I think he is 100% being voted out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think Brad quite realized how much danger he might have been in, but he definitely saved himself there. And that certainly, you know, threw the target onto Sierra if they want to split up one of that duo, which, you know, is what's talked about in this rule here. And yes, you know, Sarah did a great acting job. And I know it's too early, you know, right now to look ahead. The question is, if you tell another player, I love you for real, and then that player gives you the legacy advantage, and then you later find out they tricked you, what are the odds you're getting their vote at the end?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's further on for down the road. And it may be something right. That we talk about if we get to a why Sarah lost along the way.
Yes.
Okay, David, but a good point about that probably not being the deciding factor. Probably everybody's been beating up Sierra Dawn Thomas on that she told Sarah about the legacy advantage, and probably not the ultimate reason why she went home.
Well, and it sounded like she was beating herself up about it too, you know?
Hey, it was more that you were in an alliance with Brad and he won immunity. Be mad at Brad.
Right. Yeah.
Not Sarah. He should have let you have that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Rule number three, David, be flexible.
Yeah. I would say that the most important part of this rule is you cannot simply tie yourself to one alliance and hope it survives. It's, you know, bold-faced, underlined in the rule. And that's exactly what Sierra did. She was so certain that she had her Power Six alliance and she was going to ride that Power Six horse to the finals. But you know, then it was like one of those old war movies where the horse gets shot right out from under you.
Oh, do you have to use such graphic horse violence when we're talking about Sierra? You don't think she's had a bad enough week, David?
It wasn't her horse. Okay. It was a war horse, you know. So after, you know, having that happen, she was, you know, found herself floundering around on the ground, you know, because her alliance couldn't gallop along anymore. And Sierra just didn't have any outside backup plans. She had plenty going on inside her alliance, but when she lost the majority, she really had nowhere to go. And honestly, at that point, it was just a matter of time before she got picked off.
I don't know if that's necessarily fair. I mean, we did see her last week. She went to Ceree and to Andrea and said, hey, tell me whatever name you want me to write down. I'll vote for whoever. Just, you know, keep me safe. And they tell her to vote off Ty, who's in her alliance. She says, I'll put a star on it, a sheriff's star maybe even. So I thought that at least was her saying, like, hey, whatever you guys want, I'm willing to do to stay in the game.
Well, yeah, that was her attempt, and they used her for that one vote and then voted her out the next time.
But she was willing to be flexible. It wasn't like that she is like, over my dead body will I write down any name from the Power Six.
Well, she was willing to be flexible after she lost the majority. And the whole point of this is you can't assume that your majority is going to carry the day and get you the whole way. Mm-hmm. You need to have alliances, sub-alliances, backup alliances, and she just didn't have that. She had her power six, and she, you know, had a couple people within that power six, but everything was in that group. It's like there was no concept that that power six might not make it.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Also, probably could have been a little more flexible with the Haley Ford stuff. I mean, there was no reason why they needed to go after Haley right at the start of the merge where, you know, she, you know, did not really want to work with her seemingly in this game, and maybe some more flexibility there.
Well, you know, she was very upset when she got the new phone who dis message back
yes.
from Haley.
Yes. So I don't know. I don't know exactly how that works. But I think that that's sort of like the default answer a survivor might like if somebody is like reaching out to them out of the blue, that they act like they don't know whose number it is.
Yeah. But they have matching tattoos, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there's a good story there. The whole thing really reminds me sort of like Amanda and Parvati coming out of Heroes and Villains were like best friends. And again, I don't think that Sierra and Haley were ever quite that close. But nobody ever got a straight answer for why they didn't get along in the, you know, following 12 years.
I didn't know that was an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably not 12 years, but it seems like it. All right. You know what else is flexible, David?
I have an idea, but why don't you tell me?
Yes, of course. The ever flexible Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry available at Home Depot. They're sponsoring this podcast. The innovative appliances are the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in the same machine. It's like being on a reward in your own home, David.
I often think of laundry as a reward.
Yeah, it is a good reward. So when you do your laundry, you don't have to mix different colors and fabrics together, risking color transfer or fabric damage. FlexWash integrates a large capacity lower washer for everyday washes and an additional washer for separate colors or delicates. FlexDry integrates a large tumble dryer for everyday items and a flat dryer for delicates. Both the washer and dryer have a number of innovative features to make doing laundry easier for you and for your clothes. Plus, FlexWash offers a steam option for removing stains and self-clean to keep the washer odor-free. FlexDry features multi steam to steam away odors and wrinkles, while Sensor Dry optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage to your clothes. Both are Wi-Fi connected, allowing you to set and start the machine and get an alert when the load is finished. Just like all the alerts I get on my phone when people are playing different games of Stop with me. Together, Flex Wash and Flex Dry offers the ultimate flexibility to provide the best possible care for your clothes. That's the Samsung Flex Wash and Flex Dry available at Home Depot, David.
Yeah, I definitely could have used this that washer dryer this past week because my son just started a new internship and had to get a whole bunch of new clothes. And of course, they were all different colors. You can't wash the, you know, the salmon with the blue and the khaki. And so I was doing all sorts of different loads, small loads of laundry there.
Sure. Sure. One of the reasons I didn't want to go on Survivor, I don't want to get all my nice clothes dirty. But now with this, who knows? All right, David, let's go to rule number four. Don't let your emotions control you.
Yeah, I would say that Sierra had a mix of both successes and failures here. Her biggest success came in that combined tribal council because, you know, as we discussed a few minutes ago, she was the one who organized and pushed the targeting of Malcolm to get him out of the game, despite the fact that the two of them are actually friends on the outside. She even went so far as to tell Josh in her interview with him, quote, "I love Malcolm." So, you know, good for her in terms of putting that aside and going after the best target for that situation. However, those emotions can take a toll as the game goes on longer. And by the time we got to this most recent episode, of course, the family visit added to the situation. Now, we didn't really see it on TV, but Sierra discussed in her interviews how she got to the moment of telling Sarah about the legacy advantage. They had been talking for around an hour, and it was all emotional. Sarah was crying to her about home. Sierra was, you know, embracing Sarah, etc. And she said that she felt she needed to be vulnerable and honest in that moment. But in her words to Josh in that same interview, you just can't be those things on Survivor. You just can't. Lesson learned. Now, as I said,
thanks, Survivors. You broke Sierra Dawn Thomas.
That's right. That's right.
Turned her into a mean person now.
Only when she goes back on Survivor again.
Right.
Which I think you discussed with Miles, and I agree with both of you. So, you know, I said already, I don't think this was the primary reason she was voted out, but it was still a piece of information that she knew she shouldn't have shared with Sarah, and she did it because of emotions. Sometimes it just takes dropping your guard a little bit. Now, with that said, Sierra also said that while we didn't really see it, Sarah was one of her go-to people on the island, that they were even closer than Sierra was with Brad. She specifically said in interviews, I thought she was my best friend. And, you know, further said she tried to keep her emotions set aside on Survivor. But then she turned it around a bit and said she feels that you can cross a line, and maybe Sarah did that a little with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, personally, I would disagree. We've seen a line cross this season, and what Sarah did doesn't even come anywhere close, in my opinion.
No, I don't think so.
Right. But with that said, you know, it goes back to what I said, I think, in the second rule. If Sierra feels that way and Sarah makes it to the end, well, it's up to Sierra to judge, not me. So, you know, kind of like you said, we're going to have to keep an eye on that in the next couple weeks.
I feel like she was mostly pretty stoic throughout the whole show. I don't really think that the emotions played a big part here.
Right. I mean, it played a part in her sharing that information. If you're someone out there who believes that that piece of information was what got her voted out, well, then it, you know, then obviously the emotional portion was very important. If you're like me and it sounds like you and you think it was just one very small piece, then it's not as important.
Okay. Rule five, David, pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself.
I would say Sierra, you know, was pretty good here in most of it. She wasn't nasty or anything like that. But I also want to go back to, you know, something that she said that I referenced, the joke that you didn't laugh at earlier, about her being a sassy monster and giving a lot of orders, like when we saw her in the now infamous hammock. But it even went beyond that. And this gets to something I was suggesting earlier. Shireen said in Toronto that Sierra was too phony with those on the bottom, like Michaela. And then Sari said in a web confessional this week that Sierra made it clear that she had no long-term plan to work with Sari. Now, you know, in that third rule, when I talked about flexibility, I said Sierra didn't make alternative plans. And here we see how it went beyond that. She didn't make those plans, and she made it obvious to the others that they pretty much had no chance of getting into a plan with her. She needed to be more like Sarah, who seems to have plans and good relationships with pretty much everyone at this point. So that's kind of where I was going when I was talking about she didn't have any backup plans. It was clear to several other people, they were not part of her group, and there was nothing they could do to change that.
David, rule number six, don't be too much of a threat. So Sierra Dawn Thomas was talked about quite a bit post-merge. Was that because she was too much of a threat? People saw her as the head of that six?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, this does go along with what I said about Sierra in terms of the second rule, really. I mentioned at that point how she was pulling back now to avoid being seen as a threat, but it was too late. The damage was done. She began the game by playing hard, and that carried forward. You know, she thought her alliance would pretty much pagong out the others, and she wasn't really even doing anything to hide that, which made her a huge threat even before she was actually voted out. And then, of course, there's the Brad and Sierra duo that I mentioned earlier as well. Two players who are that tight will almost always be a threat. And she was not the type of person you could just let hang around and get rid of her later. And then finally, on top of that, we have the legacy advantage. Now, you know, we've already discussed several times that it's not worth Sarah changing up her whole game just to get it. But the fact that Sierra had the advantage, I think, did push down the scale a little bit on the side of ousting her now before she could use it in a way that might hurt Sarah at the time. So you let her go now, and then that gets her closer to that final six tribal council. Mm-hmm. And you don't want her to get to that point where she could actually use it. So it's not just a matter of Sarah getting it herself, but taking it from someone on the other side.
Right. Especially if Sarah might be potentially near the bottom of her current alliance, that could be a time where if Sierra is immune, Sarah could end up being the person to go home. So really great job of Sarah to disarm the sheriff.
Right. Right.
Okay. David, let's talk about the great Rule 7. Vote out the weak, then vote out the strong, then vote out the weak. And then the strong, you know, before we came on, I was thinking about this and I was getting really worked up because, you know, we're talking about why Sierra lost the game. What should it matter when she got voted out? I feel like that if you want to talk about this, I feel like we should only talk about it in terms of the person that won, right?
Well, Rob, I'll give you
are you saying that
preview.
Sierra lost because she didn't vote out weak people, then strong people?
Well, sometimes that does actually happen, but that's not usually when we discuss it. This rule was always meant to be a judgment on how the others did. And I think going forward, there may be a change that makes that clearer.
A game changer.
A game changer. The game changers will be a game changer. Yes.
Okay.
Now, as for Sierra, clearly she's still one of the strong. So those who voted her out did the right thing in that regard. Of course, Andrea, also strong, arguably stronger. And she was the apparent alternative here. So that means the question, again, is, you know, did the people who voted out Sierra make the right choice? Going back to the legacy advantage, Sierra said in interviews that if she had just kept her mouth shut, it would have been Andrea. But, you know, we've already discussed that. I just don't think that's true. And it wasn't Sarah's only reason for wanting her out. And, you know, quite frankly, we know Sarah turned on Sierra once already. But this was the tease that I mentioned earlier. I think Michaela laid out a very good argument for Sierra as the target in a web confessional this week. Michaela said that she wants to change the game up soon, but had to think about whether now was the right time to do it. She thought it through and realized that voting out Andrea right now would pretty much leave everything up to Aubrey, who would have been left out of the vote and therefore might have felt threatened enough to join the minority and even possibly force a tie. So, you know, Michaela's thought was, why risk it? Instead, it's better to vote out Sierra now and then swing back to take out Andrea at a better time when she found herself more in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And since I think she's working closely with Ty and maybe Sarah as well, I do feel this is a good overall explanation for some of the way things happened in this vote. You know, we saw them wavering and then they all ended up on the side of voting out Sierra. And so we'll see, you know, was this the right move for Michaela? But I think she had good logical reasons for making that choice.
Sounds good. I mean, I think that it makes some sense. And I was sort of critical of Michaela's decision making in terms of this week, because I just didn't see a scenario where she was putting herself with the best shot to get to this final three. And if Sarah is part of what they're doing, I like that a lot more.
Yeah, and that's possible. It also could be something with Ceri. I mean, Ceri may have said to her, hey, let's just calm down now. We will get out Andrea, but not yet.
David, and then your appendices include do whatever it takes to get idols, which she did by being friends with Ty.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't remember her looking for an idol. It seems that she was unlikely to find one unless it was stashed under the hammock. But my guess is she probably did look as much as any average Survivor player does. And since there was nothing to be found,
we have no reason to believe she didn't. Right.
Right. Right. So this is just kind of a maybe one.
And then anything about the final tribal council?
Yeah. You know, as we discussed last week, we are at the point where players are definitely looking ahead to the jury phase. And the question I have is whether all of them are thinking this way. So, again, getting back to Sarah, she pulled off that con job on Sierra to make Sierra think that Sarah was with her the whole way. And, of course, Sierra had no idea what happened in that vote. It earned Sarah the legacy advantage. But, again, this question comes up. Will it earn Sierra's vote, or will it have the opposite effect once she learns that, you know, she was fooled and her emotions were toyed with? I have to suspect the latter, and I think this is a problem Sarah may have with a number of the jurors. As for the others, I don't think they were really voting off Sierra with a specific thought about jury makeup. There were plenty of other reasons to vote her off. So it really just comes down to Sarah in this appendix.
All right. We got to look back at Sierra Dawn Thomas. What is your final prognosis?
Well, you know, there's a song that's been going through my head, and I think someone in Toronto brought it up right off the bat, which is, of course, I Shot the Sheriff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Bad and Bougie.
No, I don't know that one, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's a pretty big song, David. Everybody,
oh.
Yeah.
I'll stick with I Shot the Sheriff.
Okay.
You know, that song, if you ever pay attention to it, it's about a guy who kept getting his dreams squelched by a sheriff who didn't like him. And when he tried to leave, the sheriff tried to kill him. So he shot the sheriff in self-defense. Now, there are some parallels here with Sheriff Dawn Thomas. When she was in the majority, she worked to squelch anybody's plans to overthrow their group. The song says, every time I plant a seed, he said, kill it before it grows. And we know nobody wants seeds of dissent planted on Survivor if you're in the majority. Mm-hmm. So it was necessary for the others to shoot the sheriff in self-defense. As for Sierra's thoughts, she said in her final words, I think what got me in the end was being a little too comfortable, but I came in with guns blazing, gave it hell, and made it further than I thought I could. And I'd say she's partially right. Sierra has also said she's more proud of this game than the last one because of the way she played hard, and I'd have to agree there, too.
Yeah.
But Sheriff Dawn Thomas's blazing guns just drew too much attention to her. She was too obvious in both her scheming and the way she was partnered up with Deputy Culpepper. And the fact that they were content to run the table with their apparent majority made things even worse for them. Yes, Sierra should not have told Sarah about the legacy advantage, but I still feel that's a minor part in her overall story arc. Spilling the beans about the legacy advantage certainly didn't help keep Sarah on her side, but I don't think it pushed her into a decision she wouldn't have made anyway. Sierra was going to get voted out probably at this point because there were too many players who didn't want her to stick around and continue to be a threat. And once Sierra's Power Six posse was disrupted, she didn't have anything else to fall back on. And that is why Sierra lost.
David, it's just an interesting thought experiment that occurred to me. When you talk about Sierra, who played harder this time, but didn't get as close to the end. And then in Worlds Apart, obviously, she came in fifth, but didn't make moves. And I know a lot of times we point to sort of like, is there a fallacy of big moves or big move thinking? But is it a self-fulfilling prophecy where Sierra tried to make more moves in this game and played more aggressively, and thus she feels better about it because that's sort of been indoctrinated on these survivors? Or is it something like where just as a mindset where you would rather go down swinging than should you feel better like in a vacuum about coming in fifth than coming in ninth?
In a vacuum, I'd say no, but I can understand what she's saying. If you just sit there and get mm-hmm. carried along and mm-hmm. never really make a decision, never make a move, I mean, what do you have to look back on? Okay, I was there. You know, mm-hmm. which is kind of what people were saying when she was cast on Game Changers. Oh, okay, she was there, you know. But this time she took the lead. She took action. And, yeah, she overdid it. She overcorrected. She went from pretty much doing little to nothing to doing too much.
But to me, I just feel like that for a future survivor, this seems like the tiebreaker to me of if you're stuck between making a move or not making a move, make the move, because it seems like that even if you lose, you end up feeling better about it than not making the move.
Well, and I also think if you have that question, making the move is more likely to get you the win. You know, I mean, not making the move may get you further, you know, along, but it's not going to get you the win in most cases. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to bring up poker tournaments here. And a lot of the questions that come from playing near the end of a poker tournament is, am I playing to win or am I playing to place? Because the winner spot is where the big money is.
So I hear. I wouldn't know.
You can ask that other Rob. He's won a few. Mm-hmm. But if you are playing to win, then yeah, you got to make moves. Sometimes you got to bluff. You got to, you know, push all in. And yeah, sometimes you're going to lose and you're going to go out sooner. But otherwise, well, you could just sit there and get blinded out and end up, you know, okay, in fifth place. And yeah, that's more money than ninth place if we're equating, you know, the poker tournament situation here. But you never gave yourself a chance to get first. And mm-hmm. I don't think she gave herself a chance to win in her first season. Whereas this time, she at least gave herself that opportunity. It didn't go well. But if her power six had held, then who knows what happens?
Yeah.
It's just that she didn't give herself those backup options.
David, let's start to look ahead. We have two people going home this week, I'm presuming.
Yeah, someone said there was a press release that said that.
All right. So, David, let's just try to predict one tribal council. We can't even predict one tribal council. So let's not even try to do two unless you're feeling really ambitious.
Oh, I'm feeling ambitious.
Okay. All right. So how do you see this next couple of votes panning out?
Well, you know, you discussed with Adam on the recap podcast how he keeps ranking Andrea low, basically predicting she's going to go. And of course, I keep doing the same thing, which, by the way, congratulations. I do believe that you had predicted Sierra would go today or this week.
Nailed it.
Yep. So me, on the other hand, I just keep predicting Andrea will go. And also, like Adam said, it'll probably happen the time that I finally give up on that. So the question is whether now is that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I mentioned last week, we know Andrea and Ceri are a tight pair. But do we know that? Because Ceri said in a web confessional, she wasn't ready for Andrea to go just yet, but she knows that Andrea has to go. And the question is whether that time is now. I don't think it is yet in her mind, but that view may not be shared by everyone. So it's really a question of what Sarah, Michaela, and Ty will do. Do they see an advantage in keeping Brad and Troyzan around, or do they just want to chop off those two before mixing things up within their own group? If I were them, I would worry that if you do it that way, they'll be the next two to go. But of course, we have multiple idols in play, which could really disrupt things. Now, so little has been made of Troyzan's idol that many viewers...
I feel like a lot has been made about his idol.
No. That's the big green monster.
Oh, okay.
That's different. Okay. Unless he's hiding his idol there. But, but you know, I do think that a lot of viewers have probably forgotten that he even has an idol. So I think it will be telling to see if, you know, the previous Leon segment talks about his idol, because if it does, I think that will tell us something about what's going to happen during that hour. But I can't wait for that. So here's what I'm thinking. I think that Andrea will make it past the double vote episode.
Okay.
Which probably dooms her, like I said. But
you think she makes it through the night?
I do.
She makes it to the finale.
I do think so.
She went home in a double boot episode in Caramon.
Well, I think she's going to avoid that this time, okay. Which, like I said, probably means she won't. But I think it's Brad and Troyzan this time. If I want to get specific, I'm thinking Troyzan uses his idol in the first tribal council to no avail. And, you know, Brad gets voted out, and then he gets voted out, or Troyzan gets voted out in the second after he's already used his idol.
So I'll agree with you on Brad in the first tribal council. And then I'll say Michaela in the second tribal council.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. I don't see how Michaela ends up going. I think everyone wants to take Michaela to the end.
All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out, David. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't put a lot of stock into this. It's such a crapshoot. So many factors. And you're asking me to predict two votes now. So
right,
I'm not
going
to really, I'm throwing a name out there. All right. So, of course, plenty more if you want to go back and take a look at some of our blogs on this past episode as we are really in the home stretch. Scott Gallagher is on hiatus for a couple of weeks. So Christine is returning with Casual Survivor to recap the episodes. This week, she's taking a look at what happens when somebody breaks girl code, David.
You never want to break girl code.
No. And Christian is all, why are all these bloggers getting so much time off?
I don't know. Did you?
Don't they have the whole summer off?
Did you look at the contracts to see how much vacation time you gave them?
Okay, well, Christian is off, but Sarah is filling in. She is going to be looking at just playing the game versus reliance on advantages. Then Michael has very creatively turned the snuffing of fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas into a murder mystery.
Who shot the sheriff?
Yeah. Catherine Lucas is also going to go back in time and compare Troy's Anne, not the winner of his season, but to Sabrina, the woman he voted for. And then also this week, our own Lita Brillman was on the scene in Toronto with all of us, and she was blogging about the whole week. So be on the lookout for that as well, David.
Will she explain what that song was that you mentioned earlier?
Potentially. Okay. David, what is your hashtag today?
Well, I think we have to go with the song that's been going through my head. I shot the sheriff.
I think I say Sassy Monster.
Well, okay. Sassy Monster would be a good one, too.
Okay. Which one is it?
You know what? Probably there's other people using I Shot the Sheriff. So let's go with Sassy Monster.
Go with the unique one. All right. Yeah. The great David Bloomberg, at David Bloomberg on Twitter. We've got News AF coming. And then it's time for Stephen and I to recap on a regular live know-it-alls. We'll be talking about the next two players who have left the game, getting us down to our final six and setting the stage for next Wednesday's Survivor finale. Lots of great stuff. Looking forward to hearing your comments on robinsonwebsite.com. David, anything else?
No. Looking forward to find out what we have to look forward to in the finale.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.